I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 12. The Verizon Penske car, number 12, of willpower.
It's perfect. It's what you wanted. That's what, yeah. Nate would have told you.
Nate would have wanted Blaney in the 12 in NASCAR.
I don't know. I mean, he's...
I was like, Nate, I did enough NASCAR the last 2 weeks. Can't do anymore.
I mean, he's...
Need a new 12.
He's seen Will Power try and tell everyone he's in the number 11 car, but, you know.
Right. The Verizon.
Yeah.
Verizon. Yeah. Number 12. Verizon IndyCar. Anyways. All right. So in tonight's episode, we'll talk F1 at Jeddah. WEC at Imola, and some IndyCar testing, and then some news and notes. Kind of a light episode, but two world-class series raced this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we start with let's start with Hold on. We had a little technical snafu here. Bear with me.
I was going to say technical snafu on your end.
Yeah. Sorry, it was on my end. Sorry. Jeez.
What are you trying to pull up first?
I got it. Oh, I screwed up. Knocked out the F1 stuff.
Oh, no.
All right. So we're back. All right. So F1, the third and final race of the triple header.
The first triple header. Yeah. Oh, the season.
Japan. So we had Japan.
Japan, Bahrain, and then Saudi Arabia.
Or Jeddah. Saudi Arabia. All right. Yeah. So we're under the lights. I will say this once again. Verstappen willed his car to pole position.
Yep.
With a monster lap. I will say this, that he, Piastri, and Russell put on quite a show in qualifying. Another person that was quite good in qualifying this weekend was Carlos Sainz.
I mean, both Williams to that extent.
Both Williams, yeah. Yeah. So, that was exciting. There wasn't any, you know, real shenanigans going on this weekend. You know, in practice and stuff. In qualifying. I mean, other than Lando...
Yeah, I mean, if you kind of step back and look at the whole weekend or the weekend as a whole, I don't think there was really much that went on. I mean, if we want to just kind of go quickly through it, it was really Lando screws up in qualifying. There's controversy at turn one at the start of the race.
Yep.
And then that's kind of what was the storyline for the rest of the race from there. Lando did a good job, I think, and bounced back to try and recover from his crappy qualifying. And he did most of the work on lap one, so good on him. I mean, in the back of the field, the Williams guys put on a good strategy where they went a little bit longer, and it paid off towards the end because they were the ones making moves, I think. Or am I getting it mixed up with
Bahrain? No, you're fine.
Okay.
It was the Williams guys, and I mean, Fred almost got a point this weekend. I mean, so, like, should we just kind of dive into the race, I guess?
Turn one?
Obviously, yeah, I mean, that's where the controversy is. Whatever. I mean, it got called. What I disagreed with was Red Bull's handling of the situation, which is they should have just given the place back.
I think Max could have
overcome Piastri and won from there. That's just my opinion.
I don't think so. I think.
Well, he was never going to get to 11 seconds to win. So.
No, but all he needed was 5.
Yeah, I know, but he was never right. But you gotta. I mean, he was never going to get there.
Right.
That's my thing. My feeling was he should have given the spot back and then raced them. But.
Well, but the second stint just showed that he didn't even have the pace to.
I'm just saying it went down the whole rabbit hole of Horner after the race, and it was just ridiculous, you know.
I didn't see that.
I mean that's where it went, so it's so all over the place.
Look,
what they call and what they don't call.
I think Max played it right the way he should have to maximize his race. Is it the right move? No, I think it's total horseshit. But I mean, on the same face, Piastri admitted that he wasn't going to come out of that corner a second. So I mean, right. both
drivers. Well, are I mean, fault. Look, Max would have done the same freaking thing if he was on the inside too.
Right.
So, all right. So with, you know, with that, other than that, it was fine. I just didn't like the crap after. I just was like, Horner, just drop it. I mean, seriously, it you know, let your driver. No, he was getting into, like, you know, it's, you know, conspiracy, blah blah blah, and I got picture proof, and it was just like, Jesus, let's not go down it. Let's just let it go. You know,
no, I mean, I don't care about, or I shouldn't say I don't care. I'm not a fan of this. I'm ahead of the apex rule, and like,
yeah, I bring a
picture of one frame of the corner that you're ahead. It's dumb because
I just can't get into this. It's just friggin' race. I mean,
when they first had this, I mean, this has always been kind of the deal of like, 90% of the time is that the driver overtaking is on the inside of the turn.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really dealing with anyone on the outside. It's only recently that there have been a couple of drivers that have been able to push the rule book and expose this crap. Because it's a dumb argument. And it's a massive gray area when you start playing games like this. Look, I have nothing wrong with how Piastri handled it, and I have nothing wrong with how Verstappen handled it, because they're both playing the rule book, and and honestly, I'd like to just go somewhere else
with this.
If Lando's form continues like this, then it's going to be Piastri versus Verstappen, and honestly,
I 100% agree.
And it's only because Piastri has had a handful of interactions with Verstappen on track, and every single time he's tried to stand his ground. So right off the
Yeah.
bat, he's not giving in to any of it. Like
Yep.
he's gonna put up a fight. So I'm very interested to see how this
I
goes. I
will.
don't think it'll be. I hope it doesn't get to the point of ridiculousness over a rule book and stewarding, but ultimately I think that's how it's gonna play out if they
So
have more chess going.
my only thing on this whole freaking, stuff is I think a lot of this has to do with the design of these tracks now. Because if you look at these corners, you can't race into these corners because they're just, it's these gimmicky tracks.
Yeah, there's definitely that to be said. Because if you put a gravel trap, like how they have at Zandvoort at the back chicane, if you put that here at Jeddah, Verstappen is
So
not going to cut the corner like that.
right.
But I totally
So
get the point
like
of why they don't put a gravel trap there is because cars are coming in so hot that they
yeah, they're
want
coming in so
some
hot,
runoff.
but these I just don't like the, they're all these it's all this Tilka track design. I can't stand it. But like you said, Christian, if you go to like Zandvoort, you go to Suzuka, I can't even say Silverstone, and I definitely won't say Monza because I think they wrecked Monza. I hate that freaking chicane. I think it's dumb.
Which one? The
So,
first chicane?
first one. Yeah, I freaking hate it.
You would rather the kink to the right and then hard left?
No, it should be just a kink to the, it should be a kink to the right, kink to the left. When they
Yes.
redesigned
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
corner,
Yeah, that's sorry.
Now it's just like you all get to a funnel and guys just go plowing into one. It doesn't matter what series you're in. I mean, it's ridiculous. I hate it. But then, you get to Suzuka. You know what? It's he who gets there first and who's got the biggest, you know what's, and you're going to get through there. Same thing at Zandvoort,
Right,
anyway,
but
so
it gets
that's just my take.
it all. I mean, but
I
the
don't want to
counter
dwell on this
argument.
because I really want to talk about the race a little bit,
No,
but
I know, but the only counterpart to it is all the tracks that you've named. Like once you're out in front, like you're out in front, and there's no way to get by.
I get
And
it, but
make the car smaller.
right, make the cars smaller and make the cars, not so crappy in the what do you call it? Not so crappy behind one another.
And the dirty, well, but you
Yeah.
get smaller cars, less dirty air.
Right. No, I know. And
So
anyways. So I thought Leclerc had a nice race. Russell had a struggle with, and Lando got by him. And then Mercedes kind of went fifth and sixth, which was good for them. Lewis again, he admitted that he struggled. And then you had the two Williams guys, and then in 10th you had Hadjar once again just doing his thing, I again it, you know here you know here's the disappointment of the race. I don't know what it is when these guys get in the second Red Bull. I no idea.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like his qualifying was close again. Like that's the only comparison that we have to put
Yeah.
against him and Max. But I mean, look, you're not close. And yeah, we're gonna sit there and say that he needs time. But you know what? If Red Bull's gonna play this stupid game of just throw
Yeah.
a driver in, and you
Anyways.
know it is what it is, and like they got to be up to speed right away, then okay, well if that's the mark, he's not there. So now what?
He's not there. Now what? Yeah. No. So I don't, from that aspect, I think it's, I just starting to really kind of wonder what's going on there.
On the second Red Bull,
Yeah.
I think it's been this way since Vettel and Weber. Like they, and honestly, it's not even just Red Bull. Like teams in F1 or any team, for that matter, in racing, would always choose to go with the faster driver in the car to focus their development around, because they're the ones extracting the pace around it. So it just depends on whether the driver is putting the development path down a road where it just is undrivable for others, but they're the ones that can handle it, which is fine. Like, there's plenty of drivers with different driving styles, and some can handle things, certain things, than others can. So Max is clearly one of the best drivers in the world. So, and he's operating at such a high level that he can drive just about anything. And it's huge, just in the fact that if Red Bull were to take Lawson or Hadjar and put them in the Max's seat, and Tsunoda's there as the other driver, the car is like sixth best, maybe. It's immediately a midfield car.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. So definitely.
This is the thing about showing you what the difference a driver makes in the car.
Yep.
And it's not to say that the Red Bull is a poorly designed car, because clearly with the right driver, the right team, and the correct execution, it's a race winning car.
Oh, also the right conditions, it can win.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and I guess fourth is luck. Like, you need everything to go right.
Yeah.
Because McLaren clearly has the best car, and I would argue has the best driver lineup, but currently the drivers are faulting. So
yeah, because we don't know. Like, I mean, Piastri's executing right now, and Lando's not. Yeah. Now, there's still, like, I mean, the season's still young enough where they could. Like, the problem they're having is they're letting Max hang around.
Yes. And now, that's something that we discussed the other week about the team failing. Like, the team's not thinking just get ahead of Max. They're thinking, no, we're gonna play this morally correct. I'm sorry, that doesn't work.
So right now, so as you look at the points, Piastri's obviously our points leader. He's got a 10-point advantage over his teammate, who's only got 2 points over Max. Now, can I see, like, Max is still within shouting distance. Fourth is George. Now, George he's 14 behind Max. I think he can, I think he's probably going to stay right. I think that's where he's going to be, unless something really, we have some kind of, just disasters happening with the front three. I think George is probably going to be the fourth place guy, because he's got a nice cushion over Leclerc, So that's all good.
The only, I guess, if we're going to use, because the race is just, it's so early into it, if Leclerc has races like Jeddah, I mean, the gap to Russell could close pretty quickly.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, if George has a bad race.
It's,
but,
there's definitely room to mix and move around, and teams decide to focus their development on this season, or, keep it focused on for next year. Like, that's a big
thing. So I think right now, I mean, Red Bull's like, well, Red Bull has no chance on the manufacturers.
No. Absolutely not.
So their focus should be 100% on Max trying to win the thing. Because at this point, your second driver is just not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who you're putting in there. And it doesn't matter. If Perez was still here, it still wouldn't be.
No. Which, in some sense, I'm sure Perez is sitting there just
now, sitting there laughing. Where it does get interesting is kind of from Hamilton on back. You got Albon, hopefully Carlos is starting to turn the corner. I mean, there's just, guys have scored points, and then, Stroll scored points by, dumb luck. That's it, because ever since he started, I think he scored points in Melbourne, and then I think in China. He hasn't scored since.
Australia, I'll give him. Like that. Yeah. That was good. And Shanghai, like I know he had some DNFs, but again, he was there and other people made mistakes, so good for him.
Yeah, but after that, it's...
I know, after that, it hasn't been there. Well, and Bahrain Aston was out to lunch.
Yeah, so, we're going to see. I think the next race at Miami, it'll be McLaren versus Verstappen. That's what I think it's going to be.
I think Miami will be more McLaren, just based on last year.
But we got another week, so we'll get our picks in. But So anyway, so that's kind of where we're at. I mean, overall, the race was honestly really uneventful. With the first lap controversy, and overall, good race. The track's fun.
The track is an excellent qualifying venue in time trial.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Monaco.
After that, I really don't care for it. And you can sit there and be like, well, they're side by side racing at like 200 miles an hour in Jeddah. I'm like, yeah, but that's the design of the track. Like it's all high speed corners. You're going to have a higher speed to run with. And I'm not saying that's boring.
Not bad, but
then you look at the race and Piastri couldn't attack. He just sat back and had to preserve his tires to do what he did. And you were playing this track. It was more of a track position game than anything else.
It's not really a race.
It wasn't like Bahrain.
Yeah.
Where, you had the technical section, so it was kind of, follow the leader for a little bit. But the corners were wide enough that invited passing if you wanted to risk it, which is totally fine. But then also it had three fast straightaways with hard braking zones. And I'm not saying that every track has to be, just a super long straight and then a heavy braking zone. Because, I know, it gets boring and you can only design so many tracks after seeing so many that we have. But, I mean, like, there's a few that always stand the test of time. Like Spa is one of them.
Yeah.
I know Silverstone it's kind of gotten wrecked a little bit with the runoff, but honestly it's still very good for what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we begin?
Yeah.
just
keep sounding like the old guys in the room about F1 like don't.
No, it's just All right. All right, so we're off to Miami 2 weeks. We'll talk more about it next week.
Actually, the one thing I will say about Miami, I think if they changed that S section that they have in the first sector to just like some kind of kink. Like how they have it the Nürburgring on the Grand Prix circuit, that Michael Schumacher S.
Yeah.
If they had that replaced with the high speed S section that they have that is Jeddah like, and then if they also replace that stupid 180 hairpin section with just a heavy braking zone chicane like how Jeddah is for turn one and two, but that's like the end of the back straight. The chicane at Yas Marina.
Yeah,
how that is. If that was right before the bridge that they go under, then I think that would make the track a bit better.
Sure. All right. All right, now I'm going to wrap up our kind of blah Formula One coverage. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Just wasn't anything dynamic this weekend.
No, right, but I mean,
let's move on to...
You're going to have some races like that, so...
We've had a few too many of these races like that. All right, let's move on to WEC. And this was round two?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I enjoy the wet cars at Imola because they have to pass through the traffic so much.
Yeah.
So there's, it's like, it really puts a premium on the driver's skill.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was going to start off as a Ferrari, whitewash, basically, yeah. Based on the free practices, but came the qualifying and one of the Ferraris effed up,
mm-hmm.
Went to the back of the pack. So we had one Ferrari up front. So
we had two Ferraris.
Of course, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just talking more of the factory Ferraris, but anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, at that point, I'm like, all right, this should be interesting. The Alpines came to play. The Porsches took a while to come play. And the Toyotas, they were playing. The Cadillacs were once again shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
We had the crash in practice before qualifying. It's just, I don't know.
They are currently the Ferrari of WEC.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just brutal. BMW again came to play. I really think they're making strong strides with their car. The Peugeot guys, they were in and out of the mix all weekend. I hate to say it. They had some bad luck in getting caught up with stuff during the race. Look, the Astons, they were the tail enders in the hypercar field, but somebody still has to be, right?
Still sound good.
Still sound good.
You can still hear them.
I'm just enjoying the fact that they're there.
It's gonna take them at least a year. It's whatever your manufacturer went through, so they'll figure it out.
Yep, they will. The race had, we had, once they started getting into the GT traffic and then you had the interplay with the pit stops and stuff, then there was the constant threat of rain. The race was kind of, it was up for grabs. Finally towards the end of the race, Giovinazzi just, put his head down and went. And, was able to put in some fast laps and actually make some incredible passes on back market traffic that he was able to create, distance between himself and the second place car. And then was able to pull out the advantage that he had to get it to 8 seconds to win the race. I mean, because after after the last pit stop, it was tight, but Giovinazzi, and I don't know if it was because he was home, but he did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, Ferrari definitely had the car this weekend. And
yes.
I think it was just a few yellows around midway to the second half of the race that just, because of the timing of them, brought, mixed up the strategy a little bit of where guys were running and everything like that. So,
yeah.
That I think that's definitely where you saw the Porsches come into play.
Yep.
Which all the credit to them. It takes luck to get a good result sometimes. I was excited to see Alpine up there on the podium. That's a good result for them.
Yeah. No, that was awesome.
Toyota kept strong. I would like to see the Peugeots get up there, on merit at some point.
And we'll get to them in the news section.
Yeah, but Aston's Aston at this point, they we're two races in to their BOP, so they'll, and they also probably don't even know the full extent of their car of what needs to happen either. So there's plenty of testing time to go on there. Cause I mean, look at where BMW is right now. I mean, they went from not being able to finish Daytona when they first went there to now being able to put the car on pole in IMSA, but also to
contend,
put in good results at WEC and like be competitive. So,
yeah, no, 100% agree. 100% agree. In GT, the Manti Porsche took the win.
Yeah.
Richard Leitz him and Kevin Vandalender having a fantastic battle to the end.
I know the AM guys are what bring the money to some of these races, but like, man, is the battle with the pro drivers the best?
Awesome. And it's great because it's right at the end of the race.
Yeah.
You know, it's the last stint.
Yeah.
And in GT3, you know, it's almost like, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, there's, you know, people who complain about, like, there's thoughts that the BOP at Hypercars is skewed towards the Ferrari right now. But I think in GT, it's pretty close.
GT3 is much, I would say it's much closer than Hypercar.
Yeah.
Because I think Lexus got a good break, it seems, because they were up at the front.
Yep.
Or either that, or they figured it out.
That was a bonus finish.
Familiarity is with it compared to Master Sullivan.
That was a bonus. Well, I think what's happening with the Lexus team, I think they're starting to, they're relying on the Vassar Sullivan stuff. I think there's some people that are traveling back and forth to help them out on the WEC side. I mean, I think the difference there is probably the tire, but I think there was some stuff with the car that they were doing that the IMSA guys think they should have been doing, because when I think it was what Ben Barnicoat was over there driving the car, I mean, he kind of pointed some things out, and I think that's where they've learned a lot. So I think that's good. You know, so we had Porsche, BMW, we had Valley, you know, the doctor taking pole and then finishing second. He was kind of the reason that BMW kind of shot itself in the foot. You got involved with one of the Ferraris, served a drive, it's drive penalty, pit lane penalty, stop and go.
Didn't it serve two penalties?
They may have. I don't, not 100%. But I just knew about the one.
Because Valley's teammate, is it?
El Hart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He dumped. He dumped a Aston Martin in the first.
Aston Martin. Is that the one he dumped and they crashed it out?
Yeah, it was into the,
I think you're
like,
right,
second to last corner. It was really bad.
Yeah. It was Ian James. Yeah. But you know, you had the two, the Lexis, and then you had, you know, Ferrari. It's exactly what, you know, I thought it was a great race. So I no issue there. But the component that I like about Imola is just once they start getting into traffic, it is just, you know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And the drivers have to really do what they can, you know. So it's kind of cool. That's how I look at it. All right. Yeah.
I think the only thing I will say that I miss about them not going to Monza is seeing the Le Mans trim on the cars.
Oh yeah,
because it really is a preview to Le Mans, and that's what these cars are built for, and that's the race of the season. So like that's what I always enjoy. I know Spa they put on a trimmed out package, but there's still a lot of high speed corners, and yeah, there's some high speed corners at Le Mans, but you know, it's not mainly straightaways. So that's all. But these cars are all homologated too, so they can only do so much.
So we're off to Spa next.
Yes, that'll be excellent. They're racing
Yep.
in May 10th.
In May, so and then we head to Le Mans, so very
They
excited
got
about that.
2 weeks.
All
That's
right.
good
Let's
turnaround.
just let's move to our other topic here, which is the IndyCar open test today. Yesterday and today, we had a couple sessions yesterday. We had a veterans only session. Then we had a rookie slash refresher session for the guys that don't run all the time. And then we had a mixed bag. Like, we had everybody out in the afternoon. Good to see the cars on track. You know, the first time a lot of the guys have been on track with the new hybrid system, so the extra weight in the back of the car. And then today opened up with the go fast day where they jacked up the horsepower, cranked up the boost and let them loose. And it was good. And then unfortunately we had two incidents. One Kyle Larson with a just get out of the groove basically, but unfortunately it damaged the car enough where he couldn't continue for the day. And I think they made the right call and not trying to rush back a repair just to get him back in the car. You know, like why bother? So, and then the other one was Takuma went into turn one. He crushed his car, but he had been quick all weekend. But he went in there with the highest turn one trap speed of the entire 2 days before he crashed it.
No fear.
No. So, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, Polo is just demonstrating that he's the quickest out there.
I mean, it's just the 500 that eludes him right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I thought he, you know, overall, it was great to see the cars out there. You know, there was some. The thing I get it. Like it's like, oh, we get the no toe, the toe. I'm like, it's I start getting confused as to what's going on when they're starting talking about this, and I get it. Like, you know, what constitute a toe? You know, things like that. I mean, you know, just look at the end of the day, who went the fastest? And if you know, that it's just I don't know. I think they make too much into the toe versus no toe.
Well, you gotta. What they should be looking at is like a
I mean, if they were
certain
gonna if they were gonna do
lap
qual
count where,
if they were
like, you
gonna do
know that, okay,
qualify
this is race pace most likely, and then here's what we think qualifying pace
So
is.
my thing is like if they should have what they should have done was said, okay, you guys are gonna go out and run like 45 minutes, 45 minutes in qualifying mode with that car. Then you're gonna bolt on a new set of tires and we'll do a random draw. You go out and we're gonna do a simulated 4 lap qualifying session for each car. So they're the only car on the track. And you know what? If you abort it, you're done. How's that? Because if you give them 45 minutes to get the car set up, they should be ready to go. Because there were guys out there and they were doing like trying to do qualifying runs and then some team would just go, oh shit, we just pulled our car out in front of yours. Sorry. You know, it was that was kind of
Yeah,
that was
but
the only thing I was can't.
I mean it's practice, so I mean it and
Well, it was practice, but they didn't build it as that because that session this morning wasn't. That was a qualifying sim. That's what they were building it as.
Right, but I mean, you know, when during the practice week for the 500, like, what, how do they do their practice runs for their they're four out, they're four lap.
I know, but you know? I'm just saying what they should have done today was just done that. That's what they should have done.
Nah, I think it's fine the way it is. If you mess up a run, like, look, this is the unfortunate reality of an open session with everyone out there on track. Like,
if they want to call it a qualifying sim and they wanted to try it, then they should just do, 45 minutes of this, do one, you get one four lap try and you can't abort it and that's it and screw it, That's just my thought on it. But
I don't think it makes a difference.
Well, I do because of the hybrid system that's in the back of the car, and the car is way much heavier in the back end.
Yeah, but just because it's the first year for something doesn't mean you have to do anything.
Well, different. I think it would be. I personally would think. Don't you want to see how fast somebody might actually be able to go?
No, because that's always part of the game. Like, they're always going to...
Well, Christian, this is the thing with IndyCar that they need to... They got to create drama going into the week, and they got to go, okay, this guy set the benchmark. What if it was Takuma setting it? And these other teams are like, holy crap.
Yeah, but... Then you get... If you set this precedent, right, and then some team, probably Penske, figures it out for a setup, and then they just hold their cards close to them this whole time, and then they'll never show the speed. And then, you rock up to the official practice week of the 500, and then you're getting close to qualifying day. Then you start showing your speed because, you only got X amount of hours left. So what are you going to do? You can't just chuck the whole kitchen sink at it because you're going to screw something up.
No, I just personally think they should have.
Also, it's the only difference on the car is the hybrid system and the additional weight of it. I mean, the chassis is still the same. So you just...
Yeah, but the characteristics of it with the weight is what some of these guys have been saying has been a bit of an issue.
Right. So, I mean, like, again, the ones that figure it out are the ones that figure it out. And honestly, if you start changing it up, now,
I was just saying for today. I just was saying for the open test. I think it would have been good PR for IndyCar for it to come out there and say, "Hey, we're going to run these simulated qualifying runs with everybody, and just with this new system and see how much this thing really does." Because people are going, "Holy crap, this thing's making these cars go faster. It'll be interesting in it." What it didn't do was at the end of the day, it didn't really draw much interest to the non-average race fan. And that's what they need to do.
Well, if they wanted to draw interest, then they would have had to promote the test day better.
Well, they did, Christian. Only so many people are going to go to it. But I'm just saying, from the fact that at the end of the day today, if you said, "Hey, these guys ran a one-off qualifying sims," Takuma Sato ran a 2:33, and his average was 2:31. Somebody's going to go, "Holy crap." That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think it'll make a difference. Because if you want to just fabricate a storyline, like you're saying, whether you have the session,
I'm not trying to fabricate a storyline, but I'm also trying to give these teams the opportunity to say, "What are we doing to get our car fast?" That's what I'm doing. But if they're going out there and somebody gets in your front of you, and then it's like, "Oh crap, you can't run it," that it just didn't seem like that was taken into account. That's all.
I'm not buying it.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. This weekend we got SRO at COTA. We have NASCAR. At Talladega.
Woohoo.
What do we think? Are they gonna go four wide for about 190 laps and then they'll have the big one?
It'll be a fuel race.
It'll
be a fuel race. They'll sit in line for 490 laps and then we'll get let down to the last 10 and then they'll go three wide and four wide, whatever it is, and try and make it to the finish. They won't, they'll wreck. Big one. And then we'll do two or three green white checkers.
Okay. That sounds fun. Okay.
And then the one that wins is the one that gets through whatever wreck happens in four.
Yeah.
So
that's true. All right, let's
again. I hope they always prove me wrong on whatever I say, because I would like the narrative to change. But I just every time with these big races, I just this is what we get into, and it's just I don't enjoy it.
So, yeah,
and all the more credit to these guys the past few races on the spreadsheet that I have tracking it. They haven't ended the race in overtime. Like, they've gone substantial green flag run to the end. So right. I mean, good on them. Like, they're letting the race actually finish in a proper manner, and they're finishing the race at the design distance. So yeah.
All right, just a couple other things here, just for you nuts of British Touring Car, which I am. British Touring Car will now be available on the Racing Network, which is formerly Motor Trend, right, Christian? Or MAV TV? What was it? MAV? MAV. Mm-hmm. So, season opener is this weekend at Donington. So, gotta get on, check my schedule, and that's my thing to tape it. So, I'm looking forward to it. I did catch some British GT3 and GT4 racing this weekend that was on there. So, that was exciting. In terms of some news, McLaren rumored to be pulling out of Formula E.
Where'd the budget go?
Might have been WEC. And there is now rumors even further going to the fact, and this gets substantiated today because Pato came out today and said, "Oh, I'd love to drive for Cadillac." Yeah. And there's now rumors flying that McLaren could be ending their IndyCar program.
It would be very interesting.
And it's, they made the move to WEC, but I'm starting to think that they're not seeing the payoff in IndyCar. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know. There's just that stuff's flying around. In terms of F1, the rumors circulating that Lewis and Ferrari have been talking potentially that Lewis might retire at the end of the season. The real sense of frustration on his part. So,
yeah, I mean, it's fun to speculate and everything, but
yeah,
it's interesting to go down this path, you know, like who takes the Ferrari seat, what, how does that shift everything around, what do you do?
Yeah, because I think that moves if this is what's going on behind the scenes, it's being reported like in a couple different European press areas. If that's and it's not so much, it's not coming out of the Dutch news service, it's coming out from other European services, some in Italy and some in Germany. Is that gonna, you know, does that put Max in play at Ferrari?
It certainly could, but it also might bring Carlos back in play too.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's. I think they're going to go. You know, if Max has the out,
it's Ferrari. They'll always go with a big name. Like,
yeah,
if yep. if they can get the big name, they'll go for it, no problem.
Yeah.
Like I would fully expect them to. But
because of the three cars, let's just McLaren's not in the picture, okay? Because they already made the approach on Max, you know. Zach is such a tool. It's known that he went to Max's agents this year already and asked them how much, and they told him you couldn't afford him. And then he said, "Well, try me," and they read him the number, and he was like, he walked away. So if he was to say go to Aston, Mercedes, or Ferrari, what car do you think he would have a better shot at winning in?
Well, if he goes to Mercedes, I would have to imagine that there's
I'm just saying of those three, which car would he win in? If you're him and you're looking at it, which car would you take to say you're going to win?
Right now, I'd probably say Ferrari.
Yeah.
Just because if Lewis left Mercedes, then either one, he thought it was if we play down this road, then clearly he sees like his time on the way out. So he's leaving because he just wants, you know, do the Ferrari thing and then he's done. Or two.
Yeah.
He didn't see the progression with Mercedes and clearly thought that Ferrari was the way to go. So that means that Mercedes could be on a downturn. And obviously, like, this is all based on the progression of the teams over the past few years. Like, Ferrari has always kind of been there, and they can't really go much lower, because if they do, that's a real problem.
I agree.
And like, it's not, I'm not talking like, you know, that the drivers would leave. I'm talking like the whole department would probably get like uprooted and shifted around. Like you'd do a sizable change to do whatever it is to get the car back to the front.
Right.
Aston, it's unproven potential, because you know, by 26, Honda will be there, Newey will be there, and Newey's already there, but you know, it'll be his car. So it's enticing for Max to go to, because it's something he knows, it's a combination he knows that can work. Obviously there's the whole rest of the team that goes along with it. It's not just one guy and one engine supplier. But the other tough thing that comes into this whole situation is with an engine regulations change for 26, like all the rumors have been pointing to Mercedes having this, you know, beast of an engine that's coming, and it's just gonna murder the field, like how it all worked out with in 2014. So I mean, if right now I would say Ferrari's the one to be in. But honestly, like, with the ease of drivability, and if you look at the second driver in the Ferrari and the Mercedes, I mean, Mercedes isn't a bad option to be in either.
Yeah.
Because it's, even with Kimi at 18, like, he's, you know, got talent, because obviously, like, he wouldn't be there without that, but he is proving pace, so clearly, like, I don't think Max would have a problem getting the pace. It's just whether that it's at this point, it's just which team do you think is going to have the best development come 26?
Yeah. So
that's the only gamble. I can always see the Red Bull being on a downturn, because, you know, it's there's key pieces within the organization that are leaving. So, and that's not a great point to be on. Plus, Ford's coming in, and
you don't know what the motor's going to be.
Yeah. So I get everyone wanting, you know, these 2-year contracts because you, at the time, you went in with, okay, what, when you're talking to everyone, like, what's the development, what's the numbers you're hearing for performance and whatnot. And, you know, now as you're getting closer, like, if guys are talking to one another, if personnel within the teams are talking to one another about what numbers they're seeing versus others, whether it's whether they're trying to, you know, show off or, you know, put some kind of truth behind it and reveal actual numbers, like, you know, you might have a good standing of where everyone seems to be. I think the other thing too is Max, I could easily see Max just up and leaving F1 completely.
There's been rumors of that too.
He's already come out and said he doesn't want the rest of his career being in F1. Like he's not gonna spend his whole racing career in F1. He wants to go do other stuff. So he's going to leave at some point, much sooner than what Fernando and Lewis are doing. I think Alonso is only in the game just to be here longer than Lewis. I think it's just a personal thing against him. That's the only. The only thing I
got that right could now. Be. That could be.
But yeah, I mean, all this speculation, it's fun and whatever. The McLaren stuff with IndyCar and from Formula E, like it's totally plausible. But I mean, like you said, with Pato going into F1, like honestly, like outside of Colton, because they know like it's his results. Ultimately that determine whether he can have a shot with the super license or not. I mean, yeah, Pato's a good choice just because of his character and personnel, like off the track. So like he's a marketable guy. But I mean, really, like if Pello wins the 500, like would you not entertain him as a thought? For an F1 seat?
Yeah. It just depends on that litigation issue with McLaren and Ganassi. That's really where the problem is.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
No, we shall see. Other than that, that's about it. That's all I have.
Yeah, I don't really have much more to add. Didn't Genesis unveil their livery or something like that?
They did their car last week.
Yeah, that was last week. All right.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just still, you know, who's going to run that team and whatnot, but
yeah. So should be
Super Formula went on this past weekend. I think they're on motorsports.tv. If you want to catch their stuff, I have not watched their last race.
Who?
Super Formula.
Oh, Super Formula. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you said Formula One.
No. I haven't watched the race, but I know that they were at Motegi. So
okay,
that should be a. Oh, hopefully it was a good race.
Yep. All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.